All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am previewing the upcoming Week 10 Falcons-Cowboys game with Fan Rags, John Owning.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, John, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. I think we had you on talking. I'm trying to remember which Falcon draft pick we had you on for.
For Tack.
Oh, yes, of course. How could I forget Tack? The one and only Tack McKinley, yes. Appreciate you coming back. You cover the Cowboys for FanRag Sports, the new partnership between the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag to create some websites and some content. So cross-pollination here.
Indeed. Really excited to be here. Thank you for having me on. It's going to be fun.
So obviously we're recording this on Thursday, and only hours after news broke that Zeke Elliott will not, or we don't know, because it might change tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right now it seems like Zeke Elliott will have to start to serve his suspension. We have been down this road before many, many times this year, so it could change before Sunday, but it does seem at this point, given the holiday tomorrow and Veterans Day, it seems less likely, I guess, than normal that he won't play on Sunday. So I'm curious, does that take the Cowboys' run game from a 10 to a 7 with Alfred Morris toting the rock? Or how do you feel the Cowboys can survive without Zeke?
I definitely think it hinders the running game a little bit. Obviously, Zeke is a special back with special vision and a really amazing ability to get those dirty yards to fit himself in creases and get those extra 2 or 3 yards that are so critical for you to start in short and intermediate second and third down situations. So that's going to hurt. But I think the Cowboys' offensive line is clicking at a good enough rate right now that Alfred Morris, Rod Smith, and Darren McFadden will be able to produce at a level that's high enough for the Cowboys to be effective.
Yeah, well, I picked up Alfred Morris a couple of weeks ago in fantasy, one of the times that Zeke was supposed to be suspended. Yeah. And so I've just been waiting, and I've been very critical of the Falcons' run defense this week. So I certainly will be contemplating starting him on Sunday to take advantage of my insider knowledge with the, sort of the struggles of the Falcons' run defense and Morris running behind that vaunted Cowboys offensive line. But speaking of that offensive line, I guess one of the questions now is, especially now that Zeke is potentially out, I think this injury probably has a little bit more potential to impact the outcome of the game. But what are your thoughts on sort of the possibility if Tyron Smith winds up missing this game? I know Pro Football Focus grades haven't been as kind to Tyron this year as they've been in past years, but do you feel like the possibility of losing him could really sort of set back this running game this week?
Oh, for sure. Tyron Smith has been, as much as his Pro Football Focus grade has been down, he's been still really, really good this year. He's still been able to make incredible blocks that no other left tackles can make because of his athleticism, his strength, his length, all of his fantastic attributes that everybody knows that makes him such a good left tackle. So without him, they're going to move Chaz Green in the game, who is an athletic left tackle, similarly to Tyron Smith, but he does not have the core strength, the power that Tyron Smith has. He's not going to create the movement in the running game. He's not going to have the anchor against power rushes that Tyron has. He's not going to be able to get to the second level as well as Tyron is. He's basically not going to be able to do anything as well as Tyron is. So how is that going to affect the Cowboys' running game? I would expect you're going to see but you're going to see more inside zone, more gap plays towards the center of the interior of the Cowboys offensive line, where Cooper, Frederick, and Zach Martin have been playing at a really high level the last few games. So I think that's where you're going to see the Cowboys try to exploit the middle of the Falcons defense. And I think that can still be effective, but it's still not going to be as good as their bread and butter was with Tyron Smith and Cooper right up that B gap.
Yeah, I still expect the Cowboys to be able to run the football effectively against the Falcons, but I do think Smith's absence could really sort of impact on some of those third downs and those passing situations when the Falcons pass rushers, including our boy Tack, Adrian Claiborne, as well as Vic Beasley, who's now getting some work at Sam linebacker and might get a few more opportunities to rush against Chaz Green as opposed to lining up against Leo Collins. Those guys have really sort of made a habit the last few years of really sort of feasting on backup offensive tackles, and I'm hoping that they can sort of continue that trend and help create some pressure on Dak, because I do think even with Zeke out, even with Tyron Smith nicked up, Dak Prescott is still in the backfield throwing passes for the Cowboys, so that he's still a weapon that you're going to have to deal with. And on that note, I am curious about Dak's rapport with Dez Bryant. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on sort of Dez Bryant's recent sort of downtrend in terms of his production? I've noticed that he hasn't been producing at that elite level since 2014, probably not coincidentally Tony Romo's last full season at quarterback for the Cowboys. I think it's obvious why maybe he's not producing monster numbers when Matt Castle and Brandon Whedon were at the helm for the Cowboys. But what's going on with him and Dak? And I'm asking this partially because I'm wondering maybe the Falcons should even bother using Desmond Trufant to shadow Dez this week, or has maybe his middling production as of late mean that he no longer deserves sort of the extra attention that defensive coordinators once upon a time were paying attention to him?
Yeah, well, a big problem with Dez Bryant is that he's faced a murderer's row of cornerbacks all year. He's faced some of the upper echelon cornersbacks in the league throughout the entire first half of the season. Guys like, you know, Patrick Peterson, Marcus Peters, guys like that, like the top of the chain he's been going against. So it's been against really difficult competition. And then on top of that, he just hasn't been converting on a lot of opportunities. He's had some drop passes. There's been like the touchdown throw in the rain against the Redskins that bounced off his hands. It was raining, but you got to have Dez bring that in. There's certain other little things, like I think Tony Romo mentioned that Dak Prescott's ball placement on some of those red zone fades that Tony Romo and Dez Bryant were so famous for converting, Dak Prescott's ball placement on those hasn't been exactly where Dez Bryant thrives. So that's, I think they're still adjusting to each other. It took Romo and Dez a few years to get adjusted to how each other plays, how they're more comfortable. And I think it's going to take Dak and Dez maybe a year, maybe a few more games to get it figured out. And then with Dez dealing with this foot injury, it's going to make it even more difficult because he's probably going to have less explosion, less leaping ability, less ability to create separation at the top of his routes. So it's just going to make things even more difficult.
Okay. I do want to talk about the Cowboys defense, but I do want to give a shout out to the host of the Locked On Cowboys. That's Marcus Mosher. If you guys want to find out more insight into what's going on with the Cowboys currently, you can check out that show on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are found. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys defense. Let's talk about this front seven. I know you've written about Sean Lee's impact, but I'm also curious about some of the recent surges that the Cowboys pass rush has gotten from the returns of DeMarcus Lawrence and David Irving back into the lineup.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence has been basically utterly amazing for the Cowboys. Like, I feel like I don't have words to describe how well he's playing. Like, if I tell you he's been really good, if I tell you he's been elite, that does not describe how good he's been with his hands this year. I think he's been the best pass rusher with his hand technique. He's been so diverse with the type of techniques he's using. He's using forklifts where he's utilizing leverage. He's using inside swims. He's using diverse footwork to set up his moves. He is at a pace right now where he could be productive against any offensive tackle in the league. That is how well he is playing. Last week against Mitchell Schwartz, the best, him or Lane Johnson is the best right tackle in the NFL, and he beat him cleanly on four or five occasions, and Alex Smith was just too quick to get the ball out, so he wasn't able to get a sack. So he's playing at an amazing level, and I really think he's a mismatch against any team, and they're going to have to devote chips or tight ends to double team him coming off the line in pass protection, or he's going to be able to put up a big day against any team, I think. And then the other guy, David Irving, he's been an incredible addition for the Cowboys after his suspension, because teams were really honing in on DeMarcus Lawrence and really double triple teaming him and not letting him be as effective as he was those first 4 weeks. But with David Irving, and it's been more difficult to double team him because when David Irving's rushing well up the middle, you got to devote attention to him, and you can't double team two different players. So it's just been a really good thing for the Cowboys offense, and that has trickled down even more to helping guys like Tyron Crawford, who's now getting one-on-one matchups with tight ends because offenses have to slide their protection towards the Marcus Lawrence and David Irving. So it's really helping everybody on the Cowboys defensive line be more and more effective as pass rushers when they all really struggled last year.
Yeah, I remember Lawrence giving Ryan Schrader a lot of trouble a couple of years ago. And, you know, Irving lining up on the inside and facing probably the biggest weakness for the Falcons in terms of their offensive line right now is first-year starter Wes Schweitzer. So that is a concern. I do think part of the Falcons' game plan is going to be trying to run the ball a little bit more effectively so those guys don't get into a situation when they can sort of pin their ears back and get after Matt Ryan and sort of disrupt their passing game. But on that note of the passing game, I can't help but recall also 2 years ago when the Falcons and Cowboys played. That was a very big game for Julio Jones. He really dominated the second half of that game. I imagine that's going to lead the Cowboys to try and do something to sort of pay that extra attention, giving safety help to whichever cornerback covers him. But I'm curious, is the rest of the Cowboys secondary, which was a big question mark going into the season, playing at a high enough level where when they're put in these one-on-one situations with Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, and Austin Hooper, among others, do you feel confident that they're playing well enough this season that they can sort of handle those situations?
Yeah, Julio Jones is obviously the biggest worry because he's arguably the best receiver, or one of the three or four to five best wide receivers in the NFL. But the Cowboys, they don't have anybody who can cover him in any one-on-one situations, but I do feel like their cornerbacks can stay with the Mohamed Sanu types. You know, Jordan Lewis, the rookie out of Michigan, rookie third-round pick, is playing at a very high level for a rookie third-round pick. He's been really sticky in man coverage. He's been able to play press. He's been effective in zone. He's had, you know, just like any rookie, he's had his growing pains. He's had some mistakes here and there, but he's been really good, and some people even think he's been the best pure cover guy on the Cowboys so far. And then after him, you got Orlando Scandrick, who's like the wily veteran. He's the guy who's using all those little veteran tips and tricks to be able to manufacture ways for him to get his hands on the ball and make plays. You know, he's been really good as a slot blitzer. He's been timing those up really well. The most disappointing guy and the weakness has probably been Anthony Brown, who was a sixth-round pick 2 years ago for the Cowboys. He was really, really impressive in his rookie year. But this year, it doesn't seem like he's been able to improve as much. He's been struggling a lot with his assignments. He's not been able to deal with in-breaking routes as much or double moves. He's been biting on play-action fakes a lot. He's just been struggling. So if you guys could isolate anybody against him one-on-one, I'd be a little bit worried, but I'm very satisfied with what Jordan Lewis and Orlando Scandrick are providing at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, I imagine that the Cowboys will probably try to get Lewis and Jones matched up as much as possible. And then Scandrick probably handing Sanu when he goes into the slot when they go three wide. So that does leave an opportunity for a guy like Gabriel to go off. But one of the frustrations with the Falcons offense this year is there's been a big drop in sort of the play of Gabriel from Kyle Shanahan's offense last year to Steve Sarkisian's offense this year. And we've been basically waiting for a couple of games now for Gabriel to have that sort of big game that was common in the back half of the 2016 season. And he's made a couple of plays here and there scattered throughout. He had a 40-yard play against Carolina last week, and he had a 40-yard touchdown against, I can't even remember which team it was, that's how long ago it was, on a screen pass. But it seems like their only real use for him is basically screens where he can sort of get the ball into space, and that's just really not getting the full ability out of him. So I'm hoping whether it's him or Jones, when they're matched up against a guy like Brown, maybe the Falcons this week will be able to finally exploit that matchup and use it to generate some big plays. But I do think a lot of this game and the Falcons' success is going to boil down to really outscoring the Cowboys, and that's really been a struggle for them the last couple of weeks. And I think a big part of that is going to be relying on that running game. Going back to that game 2 years ago, Devontae Freeman was seemingly getting 5 to 10 yards a pop every time he was carrying the football against the Cowboys' defense. And basically in the second half of that game with the Falcons coming back from behind, Freeman and Jones were basically alternating touches, and they wound up combining for 357 of the Falcons' 438 yards that day and scored all 5 of the team's touchdowns. And I think the Falcons may need similar performances from both of those guys this upcoming week. And it's good news from today on Thursday, Devontae Freeman returned to full participation coming off of an injury last week after being limited throughout last week and being somewhat limited in terms of his workload. So it does sound like he'll get a full workload on Sunday. Julio Jones has been limited so far this week, but he is expected to maybe get upgraded on Friday. So if he does, that's a positive sign. But it does sort of make you wonder if he's going to be up to task of sort of shouldering the burden of the heavy lifting on offense. So I do think a lot of that's going to fall on the Falcons' running game, which is going to help slow down some of those pass rushers as well and sort of keep that Cowboys offense off the field, where I think they could potentially exploit some of the weaknesses on the Falcons' defense. All that building up to the question I want to ask you, how confident are you that the Cowboys can sort of stop the Falcons' running game if Freeman and Tevin Coleman get going?
Not confident at all. Cowboys defense has really struggled against the run game this year, and they've gotten better as of late, but they got a really underrated loss this week. Brian Price was placed on IR after an injury, and he was an underrated addition for them this at the beginning of the season. He gave them a big body at nose tackle to be able to help them stop the run. And without him, the Cowboys are going to have only one really true nose tackle, who is Richard Ash, who was actually just signed from their own practice squad a few weeks ago. So they're really, really light up the middle of the defense. And if the Falcons are able to get to the second level and get a hat on Sean Lee, they're going to be able to have wide open running lanes, because the Cowboys' defensive tackles right now are not playing at a good enough level to warrant to be able to stop Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman one-on-one situations, or in any really situations that's not where Sean Lee or their linebackers are able to free flow to the ball. If the Falcons can make traffic for Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens and Jalen Smith flowing for the ball, they're going to have huge, big gains.
Okay. Well, John, I don't have any other pressing questions, if you're curious about maybe my perspective on the Falcons in terms of matching up with the Cowboys, I'm more than open to hearing that.
Yeah, what do you think? How do you think the Falcons' pass rush matches up with the Cowboys' offensive line?
Not very well. That's why I'm sort of hoping that Tyron Smith misses the game, because I think that gives the Falcons a chance. I understand Leo Collins is not having the world's best year at right tackle, and I know with Beasley and McKinley coming off of that side, on the left side, they can maybe exploit that. But the Falcons have really sort of struggled dealing with sort of mobile quarterbacks this year, with Tyrod Taylor and Cam Newton last week. And so I still feel like unless they can get that push up front, it's going to be a lot of instances, even with Smith out and with Collins, even if he struggles, it's going to be a lot of speed rush on the outside, but Dak's going to have plenty of room to step up in the pocket. And with the Cowboys' interior offensive line, with guys like Frederick and Zach Martin and Cooper playing better, unless the Falcons can really get Jarrett and Poe going this week. And I think both of those guys have been effective pass rushers this year, but when they've played some of the better competition, they're not necessarily taking over games and whatnot. They're just getting a couple of pressures here and there. And I don't think they really need to have the best games of their careers, or at least their seasons. And otherwise, it's going to be a lot of sort of Dak stepping up in the pocket and still finding room in time to throw. So I'm not overly optimistic there, but maybe my boy Grady Jarrett can come through.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I'm really excited to watch Grady Jarrett when he's matched up against, you know, Jonathan Cooper, Frederick, or Martin, because Grady Jarrett's speed and quickness is enough to give issues to any offensive lineman if he's able to get a good jump on the snap count. So I'm really interested to see, especially when he's shaded over the top of Jonathan Cooper, you know, who's been hampered by injuries in his career, doesn't have the best movement skills anymore. So especially lateral movement skills. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can fire out of his pass set and get with that half man relationship on Jarrett quick enough. So that's going to be an interesting point of contention that I'm going to be paying attention to a lot on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Grady Jarrett, he's been having a great season, but it's been more of him being disruptive in the run game, more so than basically being this guy that's relentless as a pass rusher this season. And while he's certainly made plays and he's certainly been applying pressure, that really hasn't been where the bulk of the Falcons' pass rush has come this year. It's been a lot more on the edge with guys like Beasley, Tack, Claiborne, and Brooks Reed. And Poe and Jarrett have certainly contributed to that, but it hasn't been quite to the levels where every single week we're seeing it.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have. That's really what I'm super interested in as a front seven guy.
All right. You have any possible prediction for this upcoming game?
Oh, you're gonna bring me on the Falcons pod and make me pick against the Falcons? I think it's going to be not as high scoring as we think. I actually think the defenses are going to play a little bit better than we're anticipating. I'm going to go 24-20 Cowboys.
Okay. Well, I feel similar. I think the Cowboys might be able to get a couple more points. So I'm thinking like 28-24 Cowboys. I'm not overly optimistic about this game just because I think the Falcons have the capacity to play well, but it's really been their offense is sort of holding them back this year. And without the offense really getting it going this week against a vulnerable Cowboys defense, but that's really been, we've said that about this Falcons offense multiple times this season, and it really hasn't worked out so far. So maybe coming off of a 3-game road stand, they come back to the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they finally get some of that home field advantage that they've been looking for all season since that Packers win in week two. But right now, I'm not overly optimistic about it. But I appreciate you, John, for coming on and talking Cowboys Falcons with me. I look forward to seeing this game. I look forward to hoping that the Falcons come through. If not, then, you know, I can get the benefit of Dez Bryant and Alfred Morris on my fantasy teams this week, helping me get one step closer to those fantasy playoffs that I'm so eager to get to.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's going to be a fun game. It's going to be interesting to see a bunch of different things, how the Cowboys game plan changes without Zeke, how, if the Falcons offense is able to get back on track against a average Cowboys defense, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to watching Dak. I don't get as much opportunity to watch the Cowboys. I just constantly see people on my timeline bickering about Dak versus Wentz over the past year. So I will at least finally get an opportunity this year to really sort of, maybe I'll be able to weigh in on that debate after seeing Dak perform against this Falcons defense.
I look forward to your take, man. There's only one right answer.
Okay. Yeah. All right, John, I appreciate it. Let the people know where they can find your stuff if they want to follow along more Cowboys stuff.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at John Owning, JohnOwning. And you can catch my work on fanragsports.com.
All right, John, appreciate it. You have a good weekend. I would say good luck to your Cowboys, but I don't necessarily think you guys need it all that much.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts.
All right, man. You have a good night, man.
You too.
All right, guys, that's our show. Appreciate John for coming on with me and doing this. I know we switched up the order. Usually have crossover Thursday. But we're going to have a preview Friday, I guess. Did the midseason report with Charles McDonald on yesterday's show. He's one of those people that has been weighing in on the Dak versus Wentz debate all offseason. I personally like both quarterbacks. So, you know, it goes back to what I was talking about this summer when we had Matt Caroly on back in July. about, I think people spend too much time debating the differences between good quarterbacks as opposed to talking things that really matter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say about this game. I'm not confident, guys. I think that, you know, as I wasn't confident about the Panthers game, talking to Bill Rossetti last week during the course of that conversation, I was going into that game thinking I was going to pick against the Falcons into that podcast, and then talking to Bill pushed me enough and thinking that the Falcons would be able to create enough turnovers that they would, that would give them the edge and win the game. They did wind up creating those turnovers, but they didn't wind up winning the game. And so, I'm just not going to pick the Falcons this week. And I picked, look, let's say this, maybe it's a reverse jinx. I picked the Falcons every week so far this year. Even in the games that going into, I think I picked them to beat the Patriots, even though for most of the last 8-9 months, I've been thinking that they were going to lose that game. But because of the Patriots defense being terrible, I was like, oh, the Falcons are finally going to get it together this week after a couple of hiccups against Buffalo and Miami. And that was not the case. And it sort of permanently soured me against this team to see that the offense go 91 minutes without scoring. So, again, it's one of those things where they have the possibility of being able to get back on track this week. But, again, I do think it's going to lean heavily on their ability to run the football. I think, you know, without Devontae Freeman getting another one of those like 120, 150-yard gains, or Tevin Coleman picking up the slack in a big way this week, should he be limited by injury, Freeman, that is. I think, you know, whichever team has the most rushing yards, I think there's a very, very high probability that team will win. And of course, you know, you guys know how I feel about the Falcons' run defense. But the Cowboys' run defense certainly isn't faring very well. I think they're actually one spot behind the Falcons, according to DVOA. I think both teams are like 29th and 30th. Last I checked, but we'll see how that goes. Obviously, you know, maybe the Falcons get some help from Zeke being out, but again, I think with that Cowboys offensive line, you know, Zach Martin's still playing, Travis Frederick's still playing. So unless they can get a handle on those guys, then I don't know how much it matters whether it's Zeke or Morris. They're still going to get yards. It's just, you know, there may be less 15 to 20 yard gains that Zeke is capable of getting as opposed to more the 5 and 6 yard runs that Morris is capable of. So we'll see. That's it. That's my only thoughts on this game. In the meantime, you guys, if you're curious to see your own take on Pro Football Focus's grades of Tyron Smith, I think he's like at a 78 this year, as opposed to like the 85s and 90s that he's been at for like the last 5 years. So, like, you know, even though, you know, he's down, it's not as if he's like playing like poorly or anything like that. I think that's comparable to what Ryan Schrader's grade is this year. So, bad bridge, but segue. But yeah, the point of me getting into that is to say that maybe you want to get into the Pro Football Focus action. And guess what? We are giving away a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. With that, you get player grades, snap counts, position rankings, fantasy projections, tools and charts, draft coverage, all that stuff. It's a $40 value, and you can get it free by going to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, leaving a 5-star review, and leaving your Twitter handle in that review. That will enter you into it. A contest to be randomly selected at the end of each week to win that free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. If you do not win that subscription in that random drawing, then you can still get the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out Mike Renner on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson every Wednesday. You can check out Jeff Ratcliffe every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer. All right, guys. Standard outro time. You're listening, this episode drops on Friday. We'll find out what Julio's status is on Friday. Hopefully he's a full participant, but at the very least, hopefully he's a limited participant, because if he's another DNP, did not participate, that's not a good sign for the Falcons offense getting back on track this week against the Cowboys defense. So, but the point of that, me saying that, I get lost in the weeds sometimes with these tangents. But because it's Friday that you may or may not be listening to this episode, there's possibly a really strong possibility that there is additional content other than this podcast up on LockedOnFalcons.com. I told you guys on Wednesday's show that I'm going to try to keep some of these shows a little bit shorter, particularly the Q&As, which have a tendency to run very long because I try to answer everybody's question. But I will try moving forward to keep those to 30 minutes or less. Obviously, you know me, I'm going to bleed that into the 40 minutes because I am known for a good rant every now and then. But the leftovers, as they will forever be known at this point, in terms of those Q&A and mailbag questions, will be posted on Locked On Falcons. And I'm hoping that I will be able to finalize publishing this week's version of that. And so if you're listening to this now and when you get that free minute after you're at the gym or after when you're supposed to be typing up those reports at work, but instead you're listening to this podcast and surfing on ESPN.com to get Matthew Berry's fantasy tips this weekend, you can maybe check out Locked On Falcons, where you can find answers to some really good questions from a number of listeners that I did not get to on this week's Q&A. So definitely check that out. That is going to continue to be a feature for the upcoming weeks. And of course, you guys can comment on those articles and all those additional features that we put up on Locked On Falcons, which is now going to be the home of this podcast, or one of the homes. You can also comment on falcfans.com as well as another way of getting feedback to the show. Let's do this whole thing backwards. Yeah, let's do this outro backwards. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. Give us a like while you're there. But you guys know the fastest, easiest, and probably dirtiest way of getting your feedback, your questions, your comments, your criticisms to me or the show is on Twitter. My Twitter handle is FalcFans, but if you send it to FalcFans and it's podcast related, just make sure you indicate that within the tweet. But the easiest and dirtiest way of letting me know your podcast related tweets is by sending it to the show's Twitter handle at Locked On Falcons on Twitter. So that's it, guys. I hope the Falcons prove me wrong this weekend, but I'm not optimistic. I really am not. So we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. But this is it, guys. Like, I'll be honest with you. I'll wrap up with this, but this is kind of it. If the Falcons don't find, like, even if they play well, I mean, I won't say that. If they play well and lose, like, I'm talking about, like, lose a game like 38-35 or 34-31, then maybe it will inspire me to have a little bit more confidence moving forward. But it really kind of is a must-win sort of game. I said this on the other podcast I do, Falcon Central Radio, but you look at the six remaining opponents the Falcons have, or top seven seeds, I think, or whatever it is. Like, if you look at the top seven seeds in the NFC right now, the Falcons have five of their remaining eight games against those teams, I think. Something like that. I'm probably butchering it, but they got to play Dallas. They got to play Minnesota. They got to play New Orleans. They got to play Carolina. New Orleans twice. Carolina and Seattle. So that's six out of the remaining eight games. Basically, Tampa Bay is the only team that they have left on the schedule that is quote-unquote not a playoff-caliber team based off of current standings. So it really is playoff implications right now. And so if you guys are still in the mindset that the Falcons are going to make the playoffs this year or going to find a way to salvage their season, it's hard for me to believe that they can do so if they lose not only to the Panthers last week, but also to the Cowboys this week. They'll at that point, it's going to have to take some divine intervention to really sort of get things back, especially now that Zeke is suspended and, you know, the Cowboys could take a dip here, but you kind of need to win this game so that should they do take that dip, you're in the front runner in the tiebreaker situation. So that's kind of the situation right now. So we'll see what the Falcons do. But I do want to believe, you know, you guys know, I am, you know, this shell of negativity, it can be cracked if the Falcons play well. I want to believe, as they say on the X-Files, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, you guys stay locked on. You will be forever in my brotherhood by listening to this podcast, and let's hope that the Falcons rise up.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.